Jesus said that if any man come unto me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living waters.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast. Halloween is a touchy subject within the church. Some say do, others say don't. But what does the Bible say about it? Is it a sin to celebrate Halloween? What about other things that aren't so clear? Let's see what God says.
Okay, so we're talking about this pagan ritual that happened from the time Jesus died. All these people were getting born again, but they were young in the faith, and they were totally ignorant about the Bible because there was no Bible written for hundreds of years. Thank God for William Tyndale, for the Textus Receptus, and for the Rasmus, and for Gutenberg and his press. Thank God we have the 1611, but these folks didn't have it. They were totally ignorant. They had no education. There was no school system. That's the reason it was called the Dark Ages, y'all. So without proper education, many of these new believers brought their old superstitions, including the Samhain tradition, into the church, including their belief in ghosts and goblins, including their belief that when good people died, they went to heaven, but when bad people died, they stayed in between. That was part of the teaching of the early church, only because they had not had what we have, the revelation of God today. So, when the early church fathers got together and the church leaders said, what are we going to do about this? In order to establish a rival celebration and to educate the new believers who had been brought up in the Druid philosophy, the church designated November the 1st. See, we don't even remember that day. We think about Halloween, but we forget about the true day. November the 1st as All Saints Day. And they hallowed what was the Day of the Dead in the pagan tradition. They hallowed it and made it the day of to remember all saints. And they gathered on November 1st. To worship God and to glorify Him and to thank Him for all the martyrs of the faith and all the people who had died in the faith that year. So it was sort of like having a memorial service for Tommy and Daddy and Ed and Joe and all the other sainted dead, who Ray and everybody else that we can think of who had died this year or who had died in recent years. They would get together and give God glory for the legacy of the righteous. Do you see what I'm trying to say? It was called All Saints Day. They hallowed an unhallowed day. They converted it from Samhain, from Satan, ghosts, ghouls, and ghastly, to a celebration of the true saints of God. The martyred of the faithful, their names were written out, and they were praised for their legacy that they had left behind. It was a day of celebrating the faith. Rather than fearing the onslaught of evil spirits from the tradition of Samhain, who had been condemned during the course of the year, they celebrated All Saints Day, and they honored those who had lived a godly life and had gained eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The celebration was called All Saints Day, and it was also called All Halloween. On October 31st, it was called Halloween. Literally, the word Halloween literally means the holy evening. It literally means the holy evening that preceded November 1st, a tradition of celebrating the righteous dead and their legacy. Oh, how we have twisted it in our church today. Can I hear an amen? Thus, All Hallowed Eve was an attempt on the part of the Christian church to overwhelm the tradition of the ghosts, ghouls, and ghastly with the truth of the gospel. In other words, the church attempted to use a pagan holiday to promote the gospel in a witty invention, to give new meaning to an otherwise unholy day. You say, preacher, well, it didn't do such a good job because nobody remembers All Saints Day. And if we do, we think it's a Catholic feast and not a true church feast. And therefore, Halloween, which means Holy Eve, is not holy at all. Well, that leads me to this. We've seen the historical perspective, the American perspective, the early church perspective. Let's look at the biblical perspective of this Halloween. Obviously, Daryl, if you were to go and try to teach a Sunday school class on Halloween and look up in Strong's Concordance the word Halloween, it wouldn't be there. There's no reference in Scripture to it at all. Why? Because it didn't exist. when Jesus walked the earth, there was no Halloween. There was a lot of pagan holidays, but no Halloween. So we have to go to Romans chapter 14. And I think that God put this chapter in particular in here for these days and to help the church as it transitioned from Jewish celebratory events to Christian celebratory events. Look very carefully at Romans 14, 1 through 8. It says, "He that is weak in the faith, receive him, but not to doubtful dispensations or doubtful disputations. For one believes that you may eat all things, another only herbs. Let him that eats despise not him that eats not. And let him that eats not judge not him that eats. For God has received them." Who are you to judge another man's servants? To his own master he stands or falls. The principle of deciding questionable things, like should I allow my children to celebrate Halloween or not, or like, should I do other things like folk dances? Do you know some of you in this congregation love to go to folk dances? There was a time when you would have been voted out of the church and excommunicated because it's a questionable activity. Wearing of pants on ladies, that's a questionable activity. Nowadays, we have to worry about men wearing dresses. Somebody say amen. Questionable activities that we have to look at where God doesn't specifically say, thou shalt not. What do we do? Well, he gives us a biblical perspective. The Apostle Paul addresses two specific issues here in Romans chapter 14 that I think are relevant to the celebration of Halloween and other questionable, what we would call, can we say it like this, personal convictions. There are biblical mandates that whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. Whether you like it or not, God said, hallow Sunday and make it special for him. Whether you like it or not, he said, you can't commit adultery with another man's wife. Whether you like it or not, he said that if you lie, mankind lies with mankind as with womankind, they're both an abomination. Amen. Whether you like it or not, you're supposed to work and not be unwell. Whether you like it or not, your children are supposed to be subjected to you. Women have to submit themselves to their own. Those are standards that are biblical mandates. But there are a lot of things that are personal convictions. Square dancing. Smoking marijuana. Notice I didn't say drinking alcohol. Even though the Bible said drink a little wine for your stomach's sake. So when we get into these questionable gray areas, here's where your pastor has matured. I used to say, follow me! Do what I say! Now I say, grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. We are free will moral agents who are wrapped up, tied up, and tangled all up in grace. And Paul said, one man eats meat, another doesn't. One man's a vegan and another's not. You're not any better if you meet. And he was talking, we're going to talk about specifically what he's talking about, whether you eat meat or whether you eat vegetables. Vegetarian, you're no better than a meat eater. Meat eater, you're no better than a vegetarian. Both of you need to be persuaded in your own mind what's right for you. Hello. We have families that don't believe in vaccinating their children. We have families who believe it's a sin if you don't vaccinate your children. Whichever one you believe, neither one of you are right. Both of you have good arguments, but the Bible doesn't say. We are free will agents. The first one is when the Apostle Paul addressed this issue, he addressed two issues. One was meat that had been sacrificed to pagan gods on pagan holidays. How many of y'all go to Chinese restaurants in town and you see the dumb little cat that has the little arm that goes like this? Yeah, and in front of the cat, they always have some sort of cute little vegetable or a fruit or something. Okay, did you ever know that the reason they do that is they believe that cat is their god and that that food is for that god to eat? And I guess their god is very particular because he never eats what they put in front of him. Well, in the Roman days, in the early days, from the transition from Jesus walking on the earth to the new church coming in, the Roman and Greeks had these statues of Zeus and had these statues of Apollo and had these statues of Epaphroditus and all these statues, and they would give meat, their best cut of meat, and lay it in front of the statue and want it to eat it. And guess what? It never did. But all that would happen was that meat would begin to cure, and after a day or so, they had people who would come by, and they were what we would call closeout specialists. salvage dealers, and they would pick up the meat from these different idols and give an offering to them for them, and then they would take them to what 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 15, calls the shambles, these discount grocery stores, and they would have the best cut of meat at a lower price, but everybody knew that that ribeye steak and that that bacon was at the feet of Zeus. So Paul said, if you get a ribeye for $1 a pound and it was sacrificed to Zeus, eat it up, as long as your conscience will allow you to do so. But if you used to be an Apollo worshiper, if you used to be a Druid priest, if you used to celebrate and you knew that's pagan, and your heart said, I can't do that because I would be eating something that was sacrificed to a goddess that doesn't exist, then don't eat it. Hello? He was saying, even though you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you still believed in those gods of Greek mythology, and some did. The religion of their father and the one they were coming out of, Paul was giving a new revelation. He was saying, the rhema word from the Holy Spirit is, therefore, whatever you've done in the past is in the past. And because of their past involvement, they didn't want to eat the meat. You don't have to eat it, but it's okay if you do. There were some in the church who absolutely refused to eat the meat sold in shambles, to eat the meat that had been sacrificed to idols, and they believed that anyone else who ate it was committing a mortal sin. They were so adamant against it that they would even protest it in the church and talk about it and debate it. Much like an alcoholic. You get saved from alcoholism, and you are so against alcohol, as I am, and I wasn't an alcoholic, but I'm against it, amen. And so your pet peeve is, I'm not going to drink nothing no more. I won't even take NyQuil medicine if I get a cold because it's got alcohol in it. Don't give me any tincture of alcohol whatsoever. And furthermore, I'll not go to a grocery store. I'll not go to a restaurant that sells alcohol. I have this conviction. And yet your best friend, who's just as much a Christian as you are, gets a cold and drinks NyQuil and goes every Sunday to a place that sells beer. Hello? They don't drink it, but they go there. You can't get out of shape with either one because you're both coming from different perspectives. And Paul said, one says you can, one says you can't. Guess what? You're both right. You follow your convictions. So there were Christians in the church who wouldn't touch the meat. But there were other Christians in the church who the Bible says, look at it, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive not into doubtful dispositions. For one believes he must eat all things, another eats herbs. Let not him that eat despise him who eats not. And then it goes on to say that the stronger man was the one who understood that Zeus and Apollo and all those false gods were not real. And it was just some dumb idol. And so it didn't matter to him where it came from. I'm going to eat it. It's sort of like somebody asked me the other day. Said, preacher, if I win the lottery, can I tithe to your church? And I said, honey, we'll come get it. You don't even have to bring it. Amen? They said, but it's going to be from the lottery. I said, hey, the devil's had it long enough. It's time to give it to God. I have no problem with that. Another person said, preacher, I don't know if you'll take this offer or not because I sold a bar and I made some money and I'm going to give some money. Hey, man, I don't want the bar, but I'll take the moolah. Don't matter to me where it came from. It matters what you do with it afterwards you get it. Amen? If I go to that place that sells the meat and the shambles, I knew it came from goddess of Zeus. Or, no, I guess she was not a god. Zeus was not a goddess. Some false god? Don't matter to me. If the Chinese restaurant we go to today has their little kitty cat flapping and they got a beautiful little cinnamon bun there and he looks at me and says, we're about to take it up. Do you want it? Hey, man, give it to me. I'll eat it. You know why? Because that kitty cat ain't real. That dumb idol ain't real. Oh, by the way, ghosts, ghouls, and gothic are not real. I know that. I went on a ghost tour the other day and listened to folklore. My daughter told the story and laughed and had a good time because I realized it's all make-believe. Now, I came out of Satanism. I came out of witchcraft. I know what it's like to sit and incantate, and I know what it's like to sacrifice an animal on Halloween. But I don't participate in that anymore, and now I realize how stupid we were. Can I hear an amen? There are real demons. There are real devils. But those dressed up like them are not those. And there's no such thing as ghosts except maybe the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So there were Christians who were weak in the faith and could not eat the meat. There were Christians who were strong in the faith and understood it was just make-believe. Furthermore, there were some Christians who wanted to celebrate the special days. This was the new church starting, y'all. The pagans had introduced these holidays, and so the Judaizers came up, Daryl, and they said, well, we think we ought to continue to celebrate Passover and Feast of Tabernacles and Purim and all the Feast of the Lord. We ought to keep those in the Christian church. Guess what? Paul addresses that in verse 5. One man esteems one day above another. Every man esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He said, if you want to worship the typology and see the typology like we do of the Lord's Supper and the Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles, amen. But if you don't, amen. Just be fully persuaded. You say, preacher, give me some dogma. Aren't you glad God gave us a free will and I don't have to give you dogma? You're free to do what God gives you the conviction to do. Therefore, they had no problem celebrating Jewish festivals. They had no problem eating meat sacrificed to the devils. And that's the truth. That's what it was. But Paul said, be sure, Romans 15:7, wherefore receive one another as Christ has received us to the glory of God. In other words, to thine own self be true. In other words, the culture does not dictate your faith. We major on the majors and we give freedom in the minors. Amen. If you want to eat meat, go for it. If you want to have just a vegetarian diet, go for it. If you want to celebrate the Passover or the Tabernacles or Purim or even Halloween, go for it. As long as you are, as it says in verse 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. As long as you have a complete and total peace that what you're doing is for the glory of God. So let's put them together. Eating meat sacrificed to idols and celebrating former Jewish holidays was what Paul was talking about here in the biblical perspective. Well, we don't do either one of those, so how do we do it? We do it like this. We get the principle by which we make a decision on questionable things. Halloween is a hallow day, the hallowed Eve. It was once dedicated to a pagan god. Some of us understand there's no such thing as ghosts or goblins, and we have no problem participating in the modern celebration and teaching our children the difference between fake news and real news. Can I hear an amen? And some believe that Halloween, because of its dubious origins, makes it something in which Christians should not be involved, and we are not to be stupid and not get it in the modern way that, hey, listen, has anybody happened to notice in the last 2 or 3 weeks we've had more children missing than in the whole year prior? Yeah, okay. Because Halloween is a wicked day in the Church of Satan. It's the highest holy. It's like Easter in the Church of Satan. And every coven of witches, every coven of warlocks, every satanic church will perform a sacrifice on Halloween. The lower covens, if you want to call them that, the lower satanic churches will sacrifice a goat or a cat or an animal. And the higher covens, like in San Francisco, New York, and others, Chicago, they'll celebrate with the sacrifice of a virgin. It will happen. It is not a good time. And so if you're involved in that, get out now. Amen? That is satanic and that is wrong. But if your children are dressing up as a gorilla or a Superman or a Wonder Woman or a Noah's Ark character or whatever the case may be, and just enjoying the festivities, I'm going to tell you how we can make it a holy day instead of a day of Samhain. So others believe that you can do it. The choice is ours. It's questionable, but under grace, we are responsible for our own choices, but hear this, Fred, very carefully, but we are also responsible for the consequences of those choices. I could go on biblically from the context of Scripture. I believe the Apostle Paul would tell us exactly as he told the Romans, if it bothers your conscience, then don't participate. However, don't judge those who do, as long as they do it in an innocent fashion. If, on the other hand, you celebrate Halloween in a way that honors and glorifies God, like the early Christian church did, making it All Saints Day and putting the emphasis on the good people who lived and died and have a testimony rather than the evil, you convert that Day of the Dead into the Day of the Saints and use it as a day to honor God, then I think that's okay. Go for it. Somebody say amen. But the Bible said, whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. When you are allowing your children and yourself to celebrate this questionable holiday to some, then stop and ask yourself, what am I teaching my kids and am I making sure that they understand the roots of Halloween and also what we are doing as a celebration? You say, preacher, you're compromising. Hold on, don't get too sanctimonious on me. Let me tell you what's happening here. How can we glorify God on such a pagan day? Four things. Number one, teach your children. Take this day to teach your children the difference between fake and truth. real and make-believe, especially those younger than 10 years old, because they have a hard time discerning, is that a real boogeyman? Is that a real witch? Is that a real ghost? Is that a real dinosaur? You've got to teach them the difference, and it's a good time to do so on this day. Second, teach them that the power, greater power, is that Jesus has triumphed over all of the evil that they will see that night. That evil has no power over them because they are covered by the blood, hallelujah, and that this is a Christian family. Teach them the truth of the power of Jesus. Three, give them alternative costumes that honor heroes and good people. Do not compromise and allow your child to dress up as a demon, a witch, a warlock, a zombie, or something like that. What we're teaching them is you don't want to be like that. You want to be like this. And teach your children. Don't compromise here. Don't allow them to dress as demons and warlocks and devils. And then number four, you could pass out wholesome tracts and treats at your house instead of playing spooky music. Play Christian music really loud. Won't that make the devil mad? You might not get any trick-or-treaters either. Let your laugh and your light shine for Jesus. And here's very important, one that I guess I neglected, is take that time of All Saints Day and teach your kids their heritage, what they believed, how godly they were, and other people who have gone on in the Lord, and we are thanking the Lord. And just say a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for those who've won the race and are with you in heaven, and tell them we'll see them soon, and we look forward to a grand reunion. Just teach them the All Saints Day rather than all. Amen? You say, preacher, that's impossible. It's a compromise. I can't believe you're preaching like that. You've been my pastor for 30 years. How could you possibly? Don't. Shut up. Because such were some of you. You didn't have such a pretty past, and you got converted. Moi. I just told you a little bit of mine. I'd sit in a circle and incantate with candles and pray to demon gods and wicked stuff. I don't have a pretty past. Do you have a pretty past? If God can clean up your old nasty unconverted self, can't He change? Oh, you say, but preacher, that's God's saving, amazing grace, converting sinners. Has nothing to do with a pagan holiday. Then by golly, on December 25th, stay home. On Easter Sunday, stay home. You know what we did? We successfully converted pagan holidays to Christian holidays. Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, y'all. No way near. But you say, well, why don't we say that? Because it was a pagan holiday that the early church wanted to convert from the depths of devils to the sainted day to remember the birth of Christ. And it worked. Halloween didn't work so well. But you and I can still change that. Easter was the pagan holiday for Ishtar, the goddess of fertility, and that's why we have the little rabbits running around. But you know what? We can still teach our children about a fat, jolly elf who goes around giving stuff out on Christmas and little bunny trail and Peter Cottontail, and we can do all that and still remember the faith. Why can't we do the same thing with this holiday? It takes a little work. So I'd say that we need to ask God for creative ways, witty inventions, if you will, to turn Samhain Day into a day for Saints Day, remembering our sainted dead and remembering and being grateful for the legacy of our faith and teaching our children the glorious life of faith is better than the gory Day of the Dead. Can I hear an amen? And thirdly, verse 10 through 23 of Romans chapter 14 pretty much sums up the position of a grace movement. Let's read it. In Romans chapter 14, verse 10, it said, "But why do you judge your brother? And why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us will give an account to himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge anymore, or put a stumbling block or occasion to follow my brother's way. I know, I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that there's nothing unclean." Well, that's a bold statement for Paul to say. "But to him that esteems or thinks it's unclean, to him it's unclean. So if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with meat." In other words, if you know somebody doesn't believe in celebrating Halloween, don't invite them to your party. And if you don't believe in celebrating Halloween and don't get invited to the party, don't get upset. Verse 16, "Let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not of meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things whereof with one may edify. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. It is good to neither eat flesh. Let's just put it this way. It's good not to celebrate Halloween, Christmas, or Easter, or drink wine, or eat any other thing that causes your brother to stumble. If you have faith, have it to yourself. Happy is he that condemns not himself, and he that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. Here it is. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So you need to thank God that he allows you grace. Amen. To make your own decision. Personally, I think it would be better, and I've got 50 verses of scripture here that I could read to you that I researched on why I think it's better not to celebrate in an unchristian way Halloween. But if I read all 50 of these, it's actually 62 verses, if I read all 62 of these verses and you still said, well, I don't have any conviction about it, and I'm going to let my kids celebrate Halloween. I'm not going to let them, they're going to dress up as a farmer in the Dale, or they're going to dress up as Noah, or they're going to dress up as Superman. They're not going to dress up as a demon. We're going to have fun. I'm going to teach my kids the difference between fake and real, and I'm going to tell them there is a real devil, and it's not to be laughed at, and we don't want to go messing with him. We'll not have a Ouija board in our house. Come on. We'll not have a seance. We won't do those things. We won't watch movies that bring that into my house, and I won't listen to the occultic music of the rock and roll, and yes, even the country, and yes, even some modern contemporary music. I will not listen to that, but my kids are going to get a trick-or-treat every once in a while. Amen. Make sure you do all those things. And if you don't feel the same conviction that I have about it, follow your belief in love. Walk in love and walk in peace. I don't go to your English dances, but I don't criticize you for going. I did go to one. Wore me out. We may disagree, but we're not going to be disagreeable over these questionable things, because neither one is right and neither one is wrong. As it says right here, we all stand to God. Verse 4, who are you that judges another man's servant? Who are you that judges God's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. In other words, teach what you believe, live like what you believe, and let others do the same, unless it's black and white. If it's black and white, and thus saith the Lord, we'll not back down. But if it's a questionable thing where you have that opportunity to decide, be at peace, do right, but be aware. And I would say this in closing, be aware. This was a holiday and is still a holiday that Satan has started and robbed the joy from. So be careful. Know your surroundings, and teach your children the right and proper way. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the protection that you give us as Christians. And I want to thank you for the ability, Lord, to release me from being the Holy Spirit. For years, Lord, I thought it was my job to monitor the life and behavior of the sheep. It's my job to warn. It's my job to teach. It's my job to show. It's my job to say, thus saith the Lord, but whether they stand or fall is between them and God. Help me, Lord. And above all, we want to give you thanks and glory for the saints of God that have gone on before, as we celebrate not the dead, but the living. And we celebrate the legacy of the sainted dead, those who fought a good fight, those who kept the faith, the great preachers of the past, who given us a path to follow, and family members who have a legacy, Lord, of loving Jesus and instilling it in their children and grandchildren. Thank you for daddies and mamas and grandpas and grandpastors led the path before us. May we follow in their footsteps and be thankful and grateful for their legacy. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's edition of the Rivers of Living Waters broadcast, brought to you by the Making a Difference Network. We would love to hear how God is using this ministry in your life. Please write to us at Living Waters Broadcast, 911 Treasure Place Southwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28055, US of A. Or email us at maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Again, that's maddenworldwide@gmail.com. Or visit our website, maddenworldwide.com, for more information. Thank you for tuning in. If you missed the first part of this sermon on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, Join us on Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern to hear this sermon in its entirety. Until then, we'll be praying for you and your family that together we can make a difference around the corner and around the world.